So this episode is kind of, I don't know, maybe poetic's the right word, or but it was 2 years ago that we, on Mother's Day, that we recorded our first episode.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm pretty sure we recorded one and then we were like, no, let's do it proper, and we did another one, I think. But yeah,
And
so
we
it's,
recorded it like in the closet, do you
yeah,
remember? Like
trying to get good
because we're
sound.
yeah, we were recording on your cell phone and
Yeah.
we were trying to like get the sound quality to be like
Like better,
okay.
yeah.
So we were recording in your closet, in this tiny little closet. It's not like a
It's
walk-in closet.
tiny.
It's like a normal size like closet.
And we're like two fully grown humans, like trying to squeeze in. It
Yeah.
was a
And
mission.
or like back in the day when we used to record underneath the
With
blanket
the blanket,
to try
yeah.
and like block out all
But
the
that
rest of the
was pretty
sound.
good. Like it did help blocking out the sound.
Yeah, it just
Anyway.
wasn't feasible in
No.
terms of
Especially in the middle of summer.
heat. And now look at us.
Yeah.
Just
2 years gone.
and we've just been onto it the entire time.
So welcome.
Yeah, hi.
I'm Chloe.
And I'm Portia. Welcome to the No
And
Contact Club.
if this is the first time you're joining us, this is probably a good episode to start on if you didn't start on the first one, because we are going to be talking a lot about like our journey, I guess, in this episode. So
Yeah.
it would almost be a good one to start on if you weren't.
Yeah, and talking about like poeticism, is that a word?
It sounds like a word.
Things being poetic. This is the beginning of our No Contact series,
Yep.
where we're going to actually be talking about, like you said, our journey on
Going no contact.
what no contact looks like for us, and what the journey towards no contact looked like for us, and also how to go no contact if you think that's the right choice for you, and the repercussions of going no contact. And then we'll also be doing like a little Q&A as
Yeah, we've
well.
got a bunch of questions that I put out on Instagram a while ago. So yeah, we'll be answering them. But before we do get into it, we should probably talk about like just the fact that it's Mother's Day, because it's such a weird
Yeah.
day
Yeah, I mean, happy
for,
Mother's Day to.
I guess, no.
But I do just want to, before we like go any further into like talking about Mother's Day, I do just want to say like happy Mother's Day to the mothers out there that are listening to this, especially mothers out there who have narcissistic parents who are trying to,
Break the cycle.
and who never had a good role model to teach them how to mother. And I know that that can be such a difficult thing for parents as well, like not just like to gender them as mothers, but for parents as well. I know that it can be quite a difficult process to try and actually learn how to be a mother when you never had one who was modeled to you in the first place.
Yeah,
So
and breaking patterns and cycles, and yeah, that's a really good point.
yeah, so happy Mother's Day to you guys. We love you guys. You guys are doing the real work.
I reckon. I can't imagine having to raise children.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a weird kind of day, like a tricky kind of day, and I think everybody deals with it differently. And I guess if you have kids yourself, then it might be, I don't know, it might be better or worse, because you can focus on the kids, like the kid, or the kids like focus on you, or maybe it makes you more aware of the day. I
Yeah,
don't know.
yeah.
I mean, it's the day's over for people in our part of the world, but when we release this, it will be Mother's Day for the other half of the world. So do like look after yourselves as best you can, and
Yeah.
whatever way that looks for you.
Self-care day.
Yeah.
Even if you're not a mother, it doesn't mean that you can't celebrate Mother's Day in your own way. To, if you were the mother, like the parent child of your family, do something nice for yourself like you did,
Yeah,
Chloe.
I got a tattoo today, and it was completely, I didn't even think about the date when I booked it. Like, I just booked it at a day that worked, and then it was only afterwards that I realized it was Mother's Day. So the tattoo itself is a sigil, and it means like strength and protection. And yeah, I thought it was kind of fitting, like
Yeah.
after
If you
realizing.
guys aren't aware, Chloe's like covered in tattoos, whereas I'm the complete opposite. I have zero,
Zero
which
so
is quite surprising
far.
because a lot of people in our family, they get a lot of tattoos, but
Yeah. But yeah, it was just like a nice thing to do.
Because do you get quite, like, what are your thoughts around Mother's Day?
I don't know. I go back and forth with it. Like, sometimes I feel sad because it makes me wish that I had a good relationship with Mum and that we could, like, celebrate her and, like, stuff like that. And sometimes it makes me mad thinking about, like, the Mum that we did get. And
like, grieving the Mum that you should have had in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it kind of feels weird. I think last year was a pretty bad one, but that's because of, like, other stuff that was going on in my life at the time.
Yeah.
This year, I think, has actually been, it's been okay, like, just getting the tattoo, and we had, like, a nice dinner tonight and stuff. So, but, yeah, what are your, like, what do you think?
I just, like, did, like, a little shake of my head kind of thing, but I realized that, obviously, this is a podcast and not a video, so people can't see that I'm pulling a face.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I don't really think about it, to be honest. Like, it's not something that I, like, lose sleep over, I guess.
Mm.
It's just sort to me, it's sort of just one less thing that I have to spend money on.
Yeah, actually.
If you know what I mean?
That's, like, a good point.
Like,
there was always, like, pressure to, like, to buy something or go out to dinner or
And do something, like, lavish, or, you know, spend money that I didn't have, or you know, spend money that I didn't want to spend. So to me, it's a little bit like it's an opportunity to not spend money.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, I don't know. I it's something, unless someone brings it up to me. Like unless, like, because you obviously brought it up to me being like, hey, I'm getting this tattoo on Mother's Day.
Yeah.
But if you hadn't have done that, I probably would have forgotten that it even happened. Unless I had happened to, like, come across
like an ad,
like an advert or something. But I don't really, I wouldn't say that I consume a lot of media that
for you to see something like
for
that.
For me to see an advert that says, hey, this
Mother's Day is coming up.
So
yeah.
For me, I don't know, it's sort of a non,
like, a non-event
day.
Yeah.
Or I could just be saying that, and deep down inside I'm like this broken...
Is that
broken...
the truth?
Yes. No. No, well, to me, I don't know. I don't think it, like, I'm not cut up about it, okay?
Yeah, okay.
So stop bringing it up. No, I'm joking.
But yeah, so it's different for everyone, like, and I think we're, like, the perfect example of that. But yeah, I guess it's just about doing what you need to do, whether you spend it with family, whether you do something for yourself, whether you
do it talk to a mother,
mother figure that maybe you have. Somebody else in your life who you look to in that same way, or or talk to, like, a therapist, like, you know, just sort of
like, if you know that it's going to be a hard day, reach out to your therapist and be like, hey, can we talk over But anyway, let's get started.
Yes.
Welcome to the No Contact Club. While we are knowledgeable about the topics we discuss because of our collective experiences, we aren't professionals. We research what we talk about, and our references are in the show notes. However, our episodes are not a replacement for professional medical help or advice. Our content can often be triggering or upsetting, so please, if you feel like you need support, you can reach out to us at thenocontactclub@gmail.com or see the links in the show notes.
So part one of our No Contact series is all about what No Contact is and how we sort of went through that process of cutting contact.
Yeah, and just before we kind of get into it, we'll kind of do, I guess we already did a kind of layout of what this series is going to look like in our intro, but we'll go over that again. And I also want to do a little disclaimer here before we actually get into this series that I think is really important, is that No Contact is not for everyone. It's not a magical solution, and it's not, you know, it's sometimes not even possible for everyone to achieve. You know, for some people, staying in contact is the only option. You know, you might not even feel that it's the right choice for you. You might have kids. You might be opposed to going no contact with a parent. And
all of that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. That it's all good here.
Yeah, there's no, like, right or wrong, or, like, no morally correct thing to do. Like, you don't I don't want it to come out at all like we're like, this is how you go no contact, now go do it. Like,
yeah,
it's
and that's something that, like, anything that we say in our podcast, we don't ever want to come across as saying this is the be all and end all of what you should be doing. We're going to be telling you what you should be doing, because that's not what we want to say at all. This is simply a discussion.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess a large part of us, like, kind of putting out this disclaimer is saying, like, we are not telling you to go no contact. Like, we could never and would never tell anyone, you know, what they should or shouldn't do. So for us, going no contact is what felt right for us. But, like, you're the expert in your life. Like, you know what the right choice is for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think most people listening probably have an idea of what no contact means. But just in case there are people listening who aren't sure, no contact means basically
exactly that.
All contact is cut between yourself and your narcissistic parent or your narcissistic partner or friend or whoever that
person whoever in your life may be. And that's including, like, blocking numbers, blocking emails.
Yeah. It basically just means you no longer speak to the person that you're cutting contact with.
Yeah. I mean, it seems pretty straightforward, but
sometimes it's not.
Yeah. And it's a, like, massive, massive decision to go no contact, like, especially with a parent. Like, it's hard to cut anybody out of your life, especially if they're important to you. But a parent is, like, next level, and there's so many different...
And it's so taboo.
Yes.
It's so taboo. We've said it so many times. It's...
Exactly. Yeah. And there are so many different things to consider, and even more so if there's kids involved, grandkids, siblings, other family members... There's a lot to take in.
Yeah. So our series, basically this episode, we're going to be focusing on, it's going to be very heavy on our journey and how we ended up going no contact. I feel like that's a good place for us to start to kind of solidify it in some real life examples, like we always have tried to do with this podcast.
But part two will probably include, like, how to go no contact and alternatives, like, if you want to maybe put some boundaries up.
Yeah.
And then part three we'll talk about maybe what happens afterwards, repercussions, the fallout, and the Q&A. So
so we're gonna basically go into how we went no contact. Yep. In this episode, we've sort of mentioned it earlier in one of our first episodes, but when I put out the feelers on Instagram for what people want to know about no contact, a lot of people were asking how we actually went no contact.
Yeah.
With some of the responses to our survey that we got.
So, Porsche, do you want to start? It kind of starts with you anyway.
Yeah. Where do I even begin? I'm going to try. I was born into a toxic family. No, essentially, I would say my journey to no contact sort of started with, or the realization that I had a narcissistic mother sort of started when my best friend moved in with me.
And mum.
Yeah, and mum. And so it was me and mum and two of my siblings and my best friend. And we were all living together. And I started kind of cluing on to the fact that mum was treating my friend the way that she would treat us. And it was this weird thing of realizing that it didn't sit well with me, that I was, like, seeing her rope her into these same dynamics, or seeing her speak to her in such a horrible way, in the same way that she would speak to all of us, or seeing her have these, like, meltdowns that she would sometimes have when we would get into arguments. And
seeing it in a different light almost.
Yeah, seeing it and going, hang on, like, that's not okay.
Even little stuff, like, I remember her saying that she didn't want this friend to put up, it was a flatting situation, everybody was
flatting paying for people equally. Who doesn't realize is, like, roommates.
Oh yeah, because I don't think Americans would know what that means.
So we were roommates.
Yeah. And mum was like, oh, I don't want this person to put things up around the house. Like, even though, you know, she's like, I don't like her stuff. Like, I don't want her stuff
even
to
though
be...
we were all...
Yeah, just yeah.
We were all paying equal amounts of rent. We all had equal right to the space.
Mm.
But it was just weird control things, like mum being like, I don't want her to put up things around the house, or... Weird small things, like there was a can of soup that was left, like an empty can of soup that was left on the
counter.
On the counter that was meant to be taken out to the recycling bin. And it was this weird dynamic of like mum telling us not to take it out to the recycling bin and counting how long
to see if this friend would do it. Yeah.
To see if this friend would take it out. And this isn't me sitting here being like, I didn't take part in any of this. I definitely was roped into that dynamic and engaged in that kind of like toxicity in that environment. But seeing it kind of play out in regards to my best friend, it kind of didn't sit well with me. And I started seeing these patterns happening. And then at the same time, I was also doing my own research about narcissism. I was watching a lot of YouTube videos. Yeah. I was doing heaps of research into this. And I was also sharing this with Chloe and Bridie. And I realized that, like, this is not okay. And so essentially, without, like, going into detail of all this drama, all this drama happened where there was these huge, big fights. I was seeing everything for what it was eventually, and I was I wasn't handling my shit very well. I was kind of getting really angry about situations, getting angry about how my best friend was being treated, and eventually she moved out, and I saw the way that my mum was treating my younger sister with regards to manipulating her with money and getting her into a lot of debt. And so to me, I was just getting very, very upset with it all. So I finally decided, you know what, the best thing for me is to go no contact. I'd been reading about no contact.
Yeah.
I'd sort of was looking into it, and everything was just getting too much in the household. So eventually I found another place to live, and I quietly packed everything up without my mum realizing. And early in the morning, I got Chloe and Ellen to pick me up in their car
with a trailer
at like 5 a.m. to take me to my new house.
Because you had to do it before work, remember?
Yeah, because
you were working two jobs.
Because I ended up having to take on another job, so I was working 7 days a week and sometimes two to three jobs,
yeah.
You know, to try and pay for rent in the house that I was living in with mum. And also you were this
contracted, yeah.
Yeah. And also this new house that I was moving into. And so I was paying double rent towards mum because I had to, and she was making it difficult to get out of the contract there, and towards my new place. And so I ended up moving. And for me, the difficulty and also the learning lesson from this, I think, was when I moved out, because to me it was I wanted to be no contact fully, but because I was contracted onto a lease with my mum on the house that I was previously living at, I couldn't fully go no contact with her. So I wanted to cut things off and block her on everything and cut it clean, but I couldn't because I had to stay in contact with her in regards to paying rent and making sure that everything was okay with the house, so I didn't get, you know, lumped with a big bill.
So during that time, you were kind of like low contact, would you say?
Yeah, I would say that I was low contact during that time. And another difficult thing that kind of happened during that was that also, I know that you're going to get into this, but also prior to this, I was sharing a lot of resources with Chloe and Bridie and talking to them a lot about no contact and narcissistic parents and alcoholic parents and adult children of alcoholics and all of that stuff. And it kind of put them in a difficult spot where they wanted to, after I'd gone no contact, they wanted to stay in contact with mum and also stay in contact with me. And I was saying, don't tell mum anything that was going on with me. And they were going, okay, but it's this kind of really difficult place of having to maintain your anonymity or your privacy. And I felt like I was still in that trauma bond. You know, I would still kind of engage in small things where I would, at the same time as me going, don't tell mum anything about me, I would still be kind of asking Chloe and Bridie, being like, what has she said about me?
Yeah.
You know, what is she...
It's hard to break out of that.
Yeah. And especially with narcissists, yeah, you are in that trauma bond. So you are having to deal with the fact that you are know that this thing is bad for you, but you're still wanting to go back and seek out that person.
Yeah.
And it's so toxic, but you're still sort of in that place
where you're like... It's almost out of your control in a little bit, in a way.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And mum at the same time was trying to do a lot of things like rug sweeping with the girls, kind of saying small things about me and also a lot of smear campaigns, trying to paint me out as being crazy, having anger issues.
And Portia, multiple times in this podcast, has said, like, I know that there are things that I personally did wrong or said wrong, or, you know, like, I acted inappropriately, like, negatively, whatever. I think the difference is that mum has never said, yeah, I also acted bad. It's like, Portia has all the problems. I won't see her unless she sees a counsellor. But then, like, 2 weeks later, she's like, oh, you should invite Portia to this dinner. And it's like, but, like, anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And mum would try and contact me for small things because she knew that I couldn't block her completely because I was still paying rent to her and still had financial ties to her. So she would contact me with small things like...
Set up the TV.
Yeah, emailing me, being like, how do you set up TV to watch Big Brother? Or, you know, just small things like that, trying to sort of hoover me back in.
Yeah, right, sweet.
To keep me sort of in that trauma bond. And because I think to her also, and to Chloe and to Bridie, it all sort of just seemed like this big argument that was going to eventually be resolved, because that's what happens in our family. Mm. Arguments happen and then eventually they get disappear. Over it, and then they disappear and no one talks about it. So yeah, for me, it was not that. And I think it took a while for people to realize.
Oh, definitely. So is it my turn now?
Yeah, I think they kind of, both of our stories kind of...
Like overlap?
Overlap with each other, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Because, like you were talking about, you were reading up on all this stuff and, like, sharing it with us, but you weren't, like... I don't want to paint this picture of you, like, trying to convince us to go no contact or, like, look, mum's a bad person. It was more like, hey, look, this is interesting. And to be honest, like, a lot of the stuff that you were sending, I was also sending. And I think if we went back in our messages, it would be like, look, mum does this. Like finding all these articles and stuff.
Yeah, but there were, like, the funny... one of the really funny things that happened prior to all of us going no contact, when I was still living with mum, was that she was really paranoid about something, where she thought that we all had a group chat about her, that we all, even though we fully didn't, she accused me of all of us, of having this secret group chat where we would talk about her. We really didn't. Like, we seriously didn't. And I find it so funny that after I'd gone no contact and all of us were kind of coming to these realizations together of what it means to have a narcissistic parent, or whether mum was, you know, toxic or abusive or all of this stuff, we then did have a group chat about her, which I found that really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a, what is it called? Like a self-fulfilling prophecy or whatever.
Yeah. Cause
we didn't,
like, prior to that, she was,
we had group chats, but we weren't talking about her and them. It was more like, oh, did you see that new movie we want to watch is coming out? Like,
yeah, like,
just dumb stuff. Like,
just silly sibling stuff.
Yeah.
And I think also, just sort of a tangent, but, like, whatever. I think that's a really common thing for narcissistic parents, is to, like, mum would get really weirdly jealous over siblings having bonding time together, where it's like, if we had group chats together, if we all planned to go to the movies together, she would want to insert herself and be like, I want to come along. Why are you ganging up on me? Why are you not including me on this? Like, there was an example where we were organizing going to,
I think we've mentioned this before, going to,
Treetops.
Yes.
It's a,
like a, what would you call it?
It's like a treetop adventure thing,
like,
where
an obstacle course.
Yeah, like an obstacle course, but it's up in some trees.
It's really fucking cool.
It's in some woods and it's up in these, like, tall trees, and you get hooked up to, like, a like a zip line.
Like a cable thing.
Like a cable thing. So if you fall, obviously you're not going to like go crashing to the ground.
And it was, I think it was my birthday or your birthday. It was someone's birthday. And we were like, oh, why don't we go to treetops? And she was like, well, why don't you do stuff that I can't do? Like,
because she had an injury at the time.
Yeah. And it's like, well.
Yeah, it's
stuff like that.
Just very bizarre little things where it's like, she just constantly.
We couldn't do anything on our own. Like, we couldn't have.
If we wanted to plan to do something on our own, we were ignoring her. We were
leaving her
singling
out.
Her out. We were ganging up on her.
Yeah.
Very melodramatic.
Very melodramatic.
But anyway.
So, yeah. So this whole time, this is kind of going on with Porsche. Myself
going and, no contact.
Yeah. Myself and Bridie were kind of coming to like these realizations ourselves. And obviously, I'm not going to speak for Bridie. But we were both kind of watching what was happening. And like you said, Porsche, we were trying to play that role of being there for Mum, but also being there for Porsche.
Yeah.
And not, like, not talking about either of them with the other. Like, not going to Mum and bitching about Porsche and then going to Porsche and bitching about Mum.
Which,
it was so hard to do.
And also, like, in the end...
Oh, yeah, we
in
were 100%
the end,
bitching about
it. It was 100% bitching about Mum because it was just too hard not to.
Yeah.
But can I... Yeah, anyway, carry on.
But yeah, it's hard. I don't like thinking about when you first cut contact because I feel bad that we, like, weren't fully there for you, like me and Bridie. And I imagine it would have been, like, really isolating even with your friend in your corner because we were still trying to toe that line of, like, being in contact with Mum and supporting you at the same time.
Yeah, for me it was I can remember specifically the time where I realized that shift, and it was the day that I moved out. Immediately the day that I moved out, I forwarded or sent a screenshot of the text that Mum had sent me after I'd moved out, like saying some really horrible things.
Mm.
And I screenshotted it and sent it to you, or to you and Bridie, I think, or to a couple of people. And I remember the response I got was like, oh well. Or like...
Really?
Yeah, it was like an immediate shift. And I remember immediately being like, oh, okay, I get it. Like, I get what's happening here. And to like... I'm not saying this to make you feel bad. Me telling this story isn't to be like, look at this thing that you did that you made me feel bad about. But to be honest, like, it was kind of, it kind of made me feel a little bit crazy, to be honest, that like, I had this support network of, like, my siblings there while I was in contact with Mum. Prior to going no contact, I had the support network of my siblings who we would share stuff together and we would talk about this stuff and we would send resources and send links to each other and sort of that validation there to be like, this was my experience. And then you would say, yeah, this was my experience too. Mm. And it was the shared experience of coming to the realization of, like, this was our childhood and this was our... this was our lives growing up, and to have someone else there, to have a sibling there to back you up and be like, yes, it was, and that was my life too, was like great. But then it was kind of like that immediately disappeared as soon as I went no contact. And it was kind of like set up the right... Again, this isn't me trying to make you feel bad. It's just the real, like, realistic story. It kind of, like, set up the right kind of playing field for me gaslighting myself even more. Because obviously, like, we grew up with Mum gaslighting us and learning how to gaslight ourselves through her. And so it was like, as soon as I had that support network gone of people who were once there going like, yeah, we're validating you, to suddenly being like, no, we're not going to do that anymore. It was like...
Yeah, I think we were trying to stay
not,
in
I've
the middle.
This isn't too, like,
no, no, no.
Sad.
It's fine. I think we were... it was because we were trying to stay in the middle, like, firmly in the middle. But then at the same time, like, I was talking to my therapist and talking to Ellen of, like, not wanting to stay in the middle and wanting to be more on your side. Like, I think it was just a shitty time where, like...
And it was... And, like, I mean, that's the thing. It's, like, it's so difficult for everybody when someone goes no contact. It's so difficult for the whole family. Especially yeah. Especially those family members that are sympathetic to the... I don't want to say, like, sympathetic to the cause, but, like, are sympathetic to the person who has gone no contact. Mm.
Well, because we viewed it... I know Bridie and I had this conversation where we just thought it was like a bad fight and
yeah.
and it would just kind of blow over like things normally do. Like, yeah. And especially me, like I hate division like in the family. Like if there was ever arguments like between anyone, I really hated it. And I guess like that's a common thing. I'm sure most people like things to be like okay.
Yeah.
But it was quite unsettling and... Mum would always ask after Portia because she knew we still talked to her, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just this like weird time. Like I remember once we were at Bridie's house for a dinner, like obviously minus Portia, and Mum was like, you know, whenever we do these things, you should just invite Portia, like see if she wants to come. And this is coming from the same person who's like, I'll never talk to Portia again unless she's,
yeah.
It's in the presence of a counsellor. Like, I mean, not that I knew the terms for it then, but that's like, you know, hoovering and rug sweeping. But anyway, so all this is going on and like, I'm sort of going through my own journey of like realizing that, you know, growing up with a alcoholic mother, narcissistic mother, like kind of fucked me up.
Yeah. And this sort of, and even like prior to me going no contact officially, like we like had
the research
yeah. that we had been doing, you know, we would watch all these videos together and it was, everything was just like, it was like a few months of just like,
it was
what the fuck,
like, a lot of like realizations, like,
because I don't think that, sorry to interrupt again,
no,
but I don't think that you realize how stressful it was for all of us to go through that, to realize that we had the childhood that we did.
As in
not, and I feel like this is getting like really heavy, even though this is a heavy podcast, but like,
oh, as
to,
in
to realize that we had this traumatic childhood, that it wasn't.
No, I remember how bad it was because I remember, I think I was, it was after we'd all been hanging out talking about it and everyone left. I remember crying to Ellen, like, I don't even remember why. I think I was just like stress, like general stress about like,
because you suddenly
thinking
realize,
about it all.
Because you suddenly realize like, because we had viewed, and I think this is so common for,
yes.
for kids who have grown up in abusive and toxic and, you know, households with alcoholic parents or
Addicted people
and childhood trauma and stuff is to, we don't know any better as kids.
No, you normalize it
and
there are stories that we have told on this podcast and just in general to people in our lives, people have the reaction of like, what the fuck? And those sorts of stories we always would be like, haha, and then we did this, like.
And even now when I tell those stories or if people's responses are like, what the fuck, I still, even now in my head, I'm like, it doesn't actually, it's not actually that
yeah
bad.
Like, so I guess it's like an ongoing like realization, but it's also, I didn't, like, for me, I didn't want to acknowledge that she was bad, like that,
yeah,
like I think that's, I mean, like you said, it took like a few months. So like with counseling and stuff, I like was like, okay, I need to take a break like from talking to Mum. And I said that to her and she was like, yep, that's fine. I respect that. And I felt this like lift of pressure, but this was around November and I had this pressure on my shoulders of like, Christmas is coming up.
Yeah.
And I have to be in contact with Mum because Christmas is coming and you have to see your family on Christmas. Like that, just that societal
yeah
pressure. And there was always heaps of pressure over Christmas, like,
yeah,
to come over and like, which I think we've mentioned before about Ellen and I, in our first Christmas in our own home together, we were like, well, we want to have breakfast just me and Ellen at home, and you know, we'll go over to Mum's for like Christmas lunch. And we got like messages like, hurry up, when are you coming over? And it's like, I remember Ellen being like upset, and at the time I wanted to be like, well, that's just what we're doing. We're going to see family. Like, that's what you do. But now I'm like, man, why couldn't we just have like one,
like your
thing?
Own
yeah.
family Christmas together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I ended up getting back into contact like a few weeks before Christmas because I felt like I had to and things were okay. And Ellen and I spent Christmas Day with like mum and stuff, and it was like just so forced, and I didn't want to be there. Ellen didn't want to be there. Like, it was super, super uncomfortable.
And this was sort of around the time, because obviously like Christmas, I was spending Christmas with you guys in the morning, I think it was.
Yeah.
And
your boyfriend at the time.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my memory is so bad, like around these times. But we had sort of been getting more involved, in regards to being engaged again with talking about mum being a narcissist and talking about no contact and talking about all of the research and stuff that we were finding online.
Yeah. Yeah. And like Bridie and I soon kind of jumped on this train of like consuming this info and sending each other articles like, hey, mum does this, or like, yeah, you know, everything.
It was so much. It was so much.
And things that we never really realized, like we were saying, as like abusive or neglectful or fucked up, because we were in that bubble of like, mum's the best person ever. Anyway,
In regards to like mum being the best person ever as well, that was from childhood.
Yes.
From childhood, it was this consistent thing of like, mum was a good parent. She did her best. She's amazing. It was everybody else that's the bad guy.
Mm.
Yeah. Sorry, continue.
All good. And so all of this kind of culminated a day or two after Christmas, like coincidentally the day before mum's birthday, and I just like sent her a message and I was like, I don't want to talk to you for a while, that I love you, like blah blah blah. She never actually opened it, but I know she saw it because then Bridie got a message from another sister saying, hey, Chloe cut contact, like come spend mum's birthday with us. And then Bridie cut contact the next day
on her birthday. Yeah. Which we've talked about as well when Bridie's onto the podcast. I remember that day on her birthday because I was actually at a New Year's festival with my best friend who had started it. And I was at this New Year's festival and I got a message from like Bridie or Chloe or whoever from you guys saying like what had happened and that Chloe had gone no contact and that Bridie had as well. And I remember it being so out of the blue, and I think it was because you guys wanted to like make sure that I was enjoying my New Year's at this festival. And so you had avoided kind of saying anything to me. But honestly, when you messaged me, I felt like my fucking head was going to explode because I was like, I need to drive back down to Auckland so I can talk to you guys about this. I was just like,
it was something.
It was like an excitement though, because I was like, yes, like you guys are joined, like this evil,
like rubbing your hands together.
Yeah, like evil, like plan had come together. Like, and because honestly, also, like selfishly, or not selfishly, but selfishly as well, I felt like in a way, when you guys had finally gone no contact, I felt like I had, not that there are sides, but I felt like my side had won a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was a little bit like where like when I had gone no contact by myself, I was the only one. But then as soon as you guys came along, and especially Bridie, I think, because Bridie's always, even though you actually have been as well, but Bridie has always been sort of a real like don't get involved kind of person, real chill, like,
yeah,
kind of, you know, like not involved in the drama kind of thing.
Yeah.
So as soon as you guys were like, yeah, we're on your side, in quotes,
yeah,
in quotes, I was just like, yeah, I've won.
I know.
Even though like, I know
there's no sides, but also,
and there's no winning, like there's no winning, no, but I did win.
And that's kind of a good segue into like the next kind of part, like talking about the fallout, because obviously there was fallout. Like our one of our sisters wasn't okay about it. The other was okay, but not anymore. She doesn't like the podcast, which is, that's fine, she's allowed to not like it. But the one who didn't like us cutting contact basically said like we're dead to her and like go fuck ourselves. Even Ellen. And Ellen's like, what did I do?
Like, yeah. Ellen's like, I'm just here for the ride. Like,
I know.
Like,
what the fuck? But yeah, I mean, this is a super common side effect of going no contact. Like, you will often end up having to go no contact.
Yeah.
Unwillingly, like, with siblings or your other parent or family members.
Yeah.
And it like, that, I don't think people talk about that enough, like, how hard that is. Because it feels like a slap in the face to your truth and your, like, we know what we experienced and how that feels. And we made this, like, really hard decision to say, I'm not going to speak to my mum anymore.
Again,
it's a hard decision. And then for people to be mad at that, it kind of feels like it's quite hurtful, because you're like, well, it wasn't easy. I didn't just wake up being like, I'm not going to speak to my mum anymore. Like,
yeah.
It's a really hard decision. And, like, I wish that it wasn't, so. I wish that I had a mum, like, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. What were we going to say?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
No, I was just sitting here thinking, like, yeah, you're right. Like, yeah. It is this really difficult decision.
And, like, painful, and...
And even now, it's been how many years for me? I'll let you keep count, because I'm terrible with dates and... No, it's like 3+ years,
to,
right?
Yeah, I think it's 3+. I think it's coming up to 4.
Yeah.
And I'm 3, I think. Yeah.
Or maybe it's the other way. Maybe it's 3 for me and 2 for you.
No, because we've been doing this for 2 years.
Oh, okay.
So.
I'm really bad with years and dates. But anyway,
yeah.
Even now, like coming up on 4+ years, I'm still learning new things about what it means to be no contact and learning new things about myself because of that choice that I made. And I still experience moments where I'll go back and question my decision and question whether it was the right thing to do
and gaslight myself
and think, was it really that bad?
Yep.
Am I being
especially
dramatic?
Because family members have since written, or especially when we put up that survey, we got a couple, like, I think we talked about it, but just people saying, like, how dare you, like, she's your mom, like,
and
you're making up lies,
like,
and
co-workers, like, saying that, like, random co-workers saying that to us, like,
yeah, it's this is why I feel like it's hard when people are like, how can you do that? It's like, well, it was really, really hard, like, and I'm like, we're constantly dealing with, like, fallout from it, like, the fact that people, I mean, there's some members of our family who I really could not care less, that they don't want to speak to us, like,
yeah,
really do not care, they're all homophobes and transphobes anyway, but, like, you know, there are people in my family who I wish I, like, my sisters that I wish I had that same relationship with, but, you know, we all have different experiences, and there's no... It can be hurtful that there's, like, no recognition of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, like, just going off, like, losing contact, okay, let me start what I was going to say again. Going no contact with a parent and then unwillingly having to then go no contact with your other parent, your siblings, your other extended family members, friends. That's why it's so important to have a support network in place, especially if you know that this is a decision that you're going to make. I think that's one thing for me that was quite good for me, is that I had a couple of friends there that I could rely on. So, you know, even when things got dark, I could talk to them about it.
Yeah.
And
your therapist at that point?
No, I didn't have a therapist at that point. You know, find a support network that works for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, we like to think that we're, like, independent and don't need anyone, but, like humans do, like, we just are built to thrive in, like, community, you know? And
yeah, social. We're, like, social beings.
Yeah, exactly. So whether that support is friends or a partner or, like, a support group, like AA or... NA or a church group or literally anything, like a therapist, counselor, like just something that
like
you
a school
can,
counselor,
yeah,
whatever that looks like for you.
Support.
There are resources out there that you can kind of turn to.
Yeah, because you definitely need it. But yeah, so that's our no contact journey.
Yeah, and if you I know that this episode was kind of like heavy on like the like talking about like us instead of talking about a generalized view of narcissism. So if this is something that you enjoyed hearing us talk about, like if you enjoyed this kind of the way that we were speaking in this episode about our story and
'cause we don't want to talk too much about ourselves.
Yeah, because I like I know that like us talking about it, like people love talking about themselves and we're no different, but people don't necessarily like hearing other people talk about themselves a lot. So if you did like it, if you didn't like it, let us know.
I mean, this episode kind of had to be a bit about ourselves just to sort of talk about our, and like people specifically did request us to talk about this. So we're just giving the people what they want.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this was kind of like a basic starter to the No Contact series, and how that looked for us. And yeah, we're excited to bring the rest of it.
And honestly, without it sounding too, cheesy or cliche or, you know, the telling of our story, in quotes, in regards to us going No Contact is an ongoing thing, like we said before. I don't know about you, but I don't think you ever kind of stop actively being no contact, especially with a parent. Some days it's easier and some days it's a struggle to even kind of remember why I decided to do this in the first place.
Yeah. But would you say that, like you don't regret it?
No, I don't regret it at all.
Neither.
For me, like, the positives of going no contact and means like I can maintain my sanity.
I wouldn't
go back even if like someone was like, I'll give you $1 million.
Well, maybe a million.
Maybe a million. Immediately cut contact you.
I do really want to reiterate that like this isn't the only option. We're not telling anyone to go no contact. There's no right or wrong way. Like, it's all about what works for you, and it's something to put a lot of thought into.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
but either way, I hope that everyone's Mother's Day is going well.
As good as it can.
Yeah. Even if you're no contact, if you're in contact, if you're low contact.
If you've lost your mom, if you whatever have the 12 situation mothers, is.
12 polyamorous mothers.
That would be so cool. As long as
they were. No, it would not be.
If they were good moms. Anyway, that's my mummy issues.
You're like, I want 12 mums.
Give me all the mums.
Yeah.
Anyway, so thank you very much for listening. We appreciate you all so much.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day.
Yeah. You can find us at the No Contact Club on Facebook and Instagram. And
you can email us
the no contact club
at gmail.com. But other than that, stay safe.
And stay classy.